The night is Gimel Shvat. The night is the Yahrzeit of Rav Moshe Soloveitchik.
Oh.
Soloveitchik for many, many years used to give a big Yahrzeit rosh on Gimel Shvat. It was like a Yom Tov. It was a big thing. No? We dedicate the Shia tonight to memory of Rav Moshe Soloveitchik. Last week we left off in the middle of the Gemara, Lamed Tes on the days, so we'll have to go back a little bit just to explain where we left off. The Gemara on the bottom line on Lamed Tes on the days, we're going over to Lamed Tes on the days, has like this. There is a din of a neder. A person can take a neder or a shmur. The person takes a neder, he asks the potatoes. Let's see, the doctor tells him you're overweight, you should stop eating potatoes, stop eating cookies, and stop eating candy. It takes a neder that the potatoes should be also b'achila, the cookies should be also b'achila, so it's a din neder, he's not allowed to eat it. Not only is there a din, I can take a neder to ask the things on myself, I can ask my property on somebody else. Let's say I have a table full of food, a mishnah in the dorm. I have a table full of food and I come home and I see that there are people eating my food, I don't know who they are. So I make a neder, all the food is also b'achila on you. So if it's my food, I'm a balabos to make a neder to aser it on the other people. If it's not my food, I can take a neder on myself. I take a neder, the food is aser b'achila to me, but I can't take a neder that someone else's food is aser b'achila to someone else. I have no shaitis.
Yeah.
So the Mishnah has two types of mudar hanoah. I make a neder, I will not get hanoah from you. With the krik, we don't get along. So I take a neder, I get angry, I'm never going to get any hanoah from you. Or I can make a neder, why should I be such a nar? I make a neder, I will not allow you to get any hanor from me.
Yeah, middle stone, no?
Yeah, or he can be so tzikrik, he'll make both ways. I take a neder, yeah. I will not get hanor from you, and I make a neder that I ask myself on my property on you. You're not allowed to get hanor from me. Okay, so if you make such a neder, so you're not allowed to get hanor. Tavos haste hanor, getting hanor from a person. If you can make a neder not to do achila, the potato chips is also b'achila. You can take a neder not to get hanor. Either achila or hanor. There's a shavu rishonim. Can you take a neder? I can take a shvua. I will not pour tea from the kettle. That's a shvua. I hereby take already nishba because the shvua the Gemara says is an isa gavra. Neder is an isa chepsa. So shvua means I can take a shvua. I will pour tea. I can take a shvua. I will not pour tea. I can take behen or balad. The shvua is lahara lahetav. Yes or to no. Because the shvua is a chiyuv on the person, he can take a chiyuv yes to do, he can take an isa not to do. And neder, the Gemara says on the first Gemara in the Dharm, the first piece of Gemara is an isa chepze. When you say you have to say the potato chips will be asa b'achila. You have to say the cup of tea will be asa b'shtiyo alai. You can't say I take a neder that I will not drink the tea. No, that's a shvua. I take a shvua. I will not drink the tea. The shvua is our lashon on the gavra. And neder, you have to speak. I take a neder. The tea is also b'achila. Take a neder. The potato chips is also b'achila. So that's a machloikis in Rishonim. The Ran in the Dorm Daft Zvav has a whole machloikis. Is there such a thing as taking a neder that the tea kettle is also to me with respect to pouring? Is there such a thing? We know there's such a thing in Issa Chepta, also b'achila, also b'hano. Let's say there's a basketball. Tepula. Let's say there's a basketball. So he takes a neder. He asks the basketball. He doesn't say, "I will not get hanor from the basketball." Zog, I take a neder. I'm not getting hanor from the basketball. But maybe he's not allowed to play ball because when he plays ball, he gets hanor. He doesn't say, "I will not get hanor." He takes a neder. The basketball is also to me with respect to bouncing, with respect to throwing. Is there such a thing as a neder with respect to a particular pool other than achila v'hanor? That's a shaila rishon. But here the Mishnah, this is a Mishnah in the Dorm, like Markos. Here the Mishnah is going normal. He takes a neder, I asa myself and my property on you, so you're not allowed to get any hanor from me. Okay. So you're a muda hanor mechaver. You're not allowed to get any hanor from me. So if I have food on it, if I have food, you're not allowed to take, and let's say I give a kiddush, whatever, person has a simcha, so I made a neder, so you're not allowed to eat anything at the kiddush. Or you're not allowed to come and visit my home, because you're going to get hanor by visiting me, by sitting on my couch, right? So you're not.
This is not a bad midah to do somebody else. You act not nice. You know, somebody wants to eat your food.
this is not normal. We're talking over here, not normal people. Not supposed to take the dorm like this just to make machlokes.
Okay,
this is for sure. This is an avera.
But do it to a husband?
The Mishnayos talk about that. To what extent does the wife have the ability to do that? Because the wife is Meshuva to the husband. Sometimes he can be Meshuva. There are a lot of details in the Mishnah. So the Mishnah has like this. It's not proper. This is certainly not correct to do this. He just makes machlekes. If the person makes such a neder, if he does it, so the din is that the neder is binding. The din is that is binding. He's supposed to go be mata neder. It's not right to make such a neder. It's not right to leave such a neder. So the person made such a neder, he wasn't mata. So if I made a neder that you're not allowed to get hanor from me, so let's say I'm not allowed to shampoo your hair, if you need a shampoo. I'm not allowed to treat you. If I'm a doctor, I'm not allowed to treat you because I'm giving you hanor. And you're not allowed to eat any food that belongs to me. What about, let's say, walking into the shul? Are you allowed to go into the shul? So the Mishnah says you're not allowed to, because the shul in the days of the Tanoim was assumed to be owned b'shutfes by all of the people in the community. The shul is on the street in the city, and the city hall, and all the municipal buildings, and the park, and everything is considered as being owned b'shutfes by all of the people who live in that city. So if I'm one of the citizens, I'm one of the people who lives in this city, and I pay taxes here, so I'm a shutif in the shul and in the street and everything. So if I asked my hano on you, so you're not allowed to walk into the shul.
Even though I'm also a shutif?
Yes.
Yeah.
Why?
Well, I'm brave. That's why.
I cannot ask them your property on somebody else, and here he's able to do it.
I'm not answering your share on you.
Yeah,
I'm answering my share.
I'm glad
the Gemara in Bava Kamma says that has to do with Brayer. The Gemara in Bava Kamma, there is a machlokes hatanoim. Hashutim, there's a perik in the Dorm that starts off with the word Hashutim. Hashutim shenodra hanoze mizem. If I asked my hano on you, and you live in a different community, you don't live in this community, you daven in a different shul. So then we understand that you're not allowed to daven in the shul. But what happens? Hashut mishanodra hanozem is that I made a neder that you're not allowed to get hanor from me, but you daven in that shul, so you're a shut of their gufa. So the Mishnah in the Gorm quotes a machloikis hatanoim. Are you permitted now to enter the shul? I can't answer your share on you, but I can answer my share on you. So is that considered answering my share on you, or considered answering your share on you?
Yeah,
that would be the machlokes satanai.
Yeah,
by shutum you made one asses hit my chelik on you. So once you make a haluka and this is mine, that's yours, shay. So the half that's mine is mine. But while it's still alive, you didn't make a haluka. So that's a machlokes satanai. So buzz b'shtei the machlokes. What is the machlokes? So the Mishnah in Darm doesn't explain. Just quotes a machlokes satanai. I made a neder. I asked my hano on you. And you and I are shutfim in this behemah. We own something b'shutfis. So the Gemara in Bava Kamma explains that the machlekes hatanoim and the Mishnah in the Dorm is whether yesh breira or ein breira. What does it have to do with yesh breira? That we're shutfim on a chotzer, let's say. We're shutfim in the shul. The pews and everything is on b'shutfis. And therefore what?
I go to my chelik. You sit in your chelik.
What does it mean?
Everybody has a chelik. And there is a breira that this chelik belongs to me. Wherever I sit belongs to me. That belongs to
so
you.
So what? So if you hold yesh breira,
it means I can have my part.
So it's considered that when you have the right to use it, it all belongs to you. When I have the right to use it, the whole thing belongs to me. That's if you hold yesh breira.
Yes.
If you hold ein breira, so then you can't say that when you're using it, it all belongs to you. When I'm using it, it all belongs to me.
Everybody.
We say it belongs to, we're both owning it b'shutfis. And I asked my part on you. I'm one of the shutfim. The 100 people davening in the shul. I own 1% of the shul. I asked my share on you, so it's us. So that's how the Gemara in Bava Kamma sounds.
The common area is the problem, right?
No.
The whole thing is common area.
No, so when
everyone has their own seat. Everyone has their own seat.
Okay. So let's say the seat is privately owned. Seat is private. In Europe, years ago, the seat used to be mamish privately owned.
Yeah.
It went to Yerusha, to the children, to Pishnaim, and everything, mamish the seat. But the common area. So the machlokes is on using the common area.
You can't say it's also by the say there's 200 people.
One person. Because he's getting hanor from all 200 people. So one of the people is getting hanor from is this person who made the neder. So if you hold yesh breira, then the Gemara says in Bava Kamma, it's considered as if at the time that you use it, the whole shul belongs to you. The whole shutfis belongs to you. The time that I use it, the whole thing belongs to me. But if you're the embrere, then you can't say that. How can you say, Huva Dovah the Mafreya, that the whole thing belongs to you? It's very strange. That's what it says in the Gemara Baba Kam. So, how should we paskin? How should we paskin? We just learned the Gemara here. That's a long run.
Yes.
In the first daf, Perek HaShutzim starts on an Amid base. In the middle of the Mems or something, Mem Hey or something, in the Dorim. So there's a little Mishnah, there's a long run, a lot of long runs in the Dorim.
Yeah.
So the run takes up practically a whole page. So he quotes three different opinions. How do we paskin regarding Brera? All three possibilities. So he says, Sam Rishon and Paskin, Yesh Brera. Or across the board, always. Sam Rishon and Paskin, ain't Brera, never. And he says, no, we paskin the compromise that it says in the Gemara here, that with respect to Dinam Deraisa, right over here, with respect to Dinam Deraisa, ain't Brera, with respect to Dinam Derabon, Yesh Brera. But Neder is a Din Deraisa. So with respect to Dinam Deraisa, the Din should be Ein Brera. So the Din should be
you're not allowed
to get Hano. And the Gemara says, we paskin like Rav Lezer ben Yankiv. That Hashutfim in this Perek Hashutfim in the Dorm, Hashutfim Shonadru Hano Zemizeh, but Torim Likonis Lechatzah, it is Mutter. So how could it be Mutter? If the Allah is the Ein Brera, so should, based on the Gemara Bava Kama, should come out that it's Osim. So the Ran Matazach, the Ran is a long run, he says, we paskin like that Mishnah, but for a different reason. We don't accept that Gemara Bava Kama. Gemara Bava Kama says the issue involved
Breire.
Is one of Brera, and the Gemara here in the Dorm apparently has a different interpretation, different issue. Okay. Fine, that's the story over there. So getting back over here, our Gemara quoted on Mishnah from the Dorm. I make a neder, I ask my hano on you. So I'm not supposed to be mahana you in person. Let's say it's a hot day and I'm gonna fan you to cool you off, or you're drowning and I'm gonna, you're drowning is pikuach nefesh. Yeah. Let's say you're not drowning, you're tired and I'm gonna carry you on my shoulders. So I'm giving you a hanoa, or I'm going to give you a matona, you're getting hanoa, and you're going to eat some food that belongs to me, you're going to sit on my sofa, you're going to sit in my kitchen, so you're getting enough of my property, so I made a neder, so you're not allowed to do that. That's muda hanoa. But let's say there's something that belongs to the federal government, so that's good. I'm a shutif in all the things shalos ha'ir. Here the Mishnah says, asurim, if we made a double neder, asurim zebizah, I'm not allowed to get anor from you, you're not allowed to get anor from me. Umatar mishalol ligov, asur mishalol sahir. Whatever belongs to the local municipality is considered as owned b'shutfis by all of the citizens of the city, and it's hashutfim shenadra hanor zemizah, so you're not allowed to get anor. But dvar mishalol ligovel, but the wells, when they came back from Bavel after 7 years of Golus Bavel, so they built the second base on Mikdash, and they wanted to make it easier for the people to be Eile Regal. We learned in the Mishnah, so they dug wells along the highway, so when the Eile Regalim would be traveling, they should have water. They're not to schlep water with them all the time. So the Shaila is, who does that water belong to? So on Amud Aleph, the Gemara suggested that maybe there's a machlokes between Rav Nachman and Rav Sheshes, whether the water in the wells of the Eile Regalim is at Hefker, ownerless, or no, it's owned the shutfas by everybody. It's considered a shutfas. The Gemara thought maybe there was a machlokes. The Gemara is going to back out and say, no, it's hefker. It's not on b'shutfis, but everybody's hefker. But the Gemara here is going to prove that you have to back out. So there's a Mishnah in the Dorm that says that all of the people in the city are considered shutfim and everything that belongs to the municipality. So if I made a neder, then you're not allowed to get an offer from me. And let's say you live in another city. If you live in this city, that's the machlokes hatanoim hashutzim shanadru hanozem izeh. So you still ask it. But let's say you don't live in this city. You're from a different city. So you're not allowed to get on off from anything that belongs. You're not allowed to sit on a park bench. You're not allowed to smell the roses.
You can't walk in the city. Okay.
You can't walk in the city. Why? Because I'm a shutter from the city. And I made a neder. You made a neder not to get on off from me. I made a neder that you shouldn't get on off from me, whatever, whichever direction it was. And I'm one of the shutters. So you're not allowed to get on off. So it says, whatever belongs to the municipality, asur mishalos here. But mutar mishalos lebavo, whatever ditches, whatever wells were dug by the other Bavel, you're permitted, the guy is not allowed to get on off from me, he's permitted to drink the water from the well. So the Gemara says, and if you're going to say the E Amr, the line after the little letter Aleph, the seventh line from the top, the E Amr, and if you're going to say Bered Shutfayhu, that the bar belongs b'shutfis to all of Klal Yisrael, just like the municipality is a shutfis of all the people who live in the city, so the bor shaloli bubble, the water belongs to Gans Klal Yisrael. How can you say that? Am I mutter? So how, if you are not allowed to get an offering because somebody made a neder to me or you, now you're allowed to drink the water. But tonight we have a Mishnah, Shutzim Shano Adranozim, is there? Asurim Likonis Lechotzer. You're not allowed to come into the Chotzer, Frank the Gemara. So how are you allowed to drink the water? So Emfer the Gemara on this Kasha depends. If you're going to come in, what are you going to do with the Bor Shalolei Bovel? If you want to go swimming in the Bor, the Gemara says, how did they correct it on the side here?
Yeah.
You have to put a period here. Assume the Karnas Lachatz a period.
Yeah.
That's the Mishnah in the Dharm. So now the Gemara answers the Kasha and suggests like this. Lirchat the Bor Hachinami. If you want to go swimming in the Bor Shalolei Bovel, maybe Taki not allowed to because the water is on the Shutfis by everybody. So it's on the Shutfis by everybody. And I'm a shutev, and there's a netter here. So either you made the netter, I made the netter, so you're not allowed to be netter for me. But hocham askinam, but what it says over here is lemalois. We're talking about drawing water. When it says in the Mishnah in the Dorm, you're allowed to use the water of the well, shalolei bovel, not you're allowed to use the water to go swimming there, to bathe. No, then you're getting hanah from me. You want to draw some of the water to drink it. So then you say, yesh breire. Whoever comes, the border really belongs to the Shutfis to everybody. Like it says in Shulchan Aruch, you only say, the mitzvah of tzitzis is only it says you only put tzitzis on a beggar that belongs to you. If you borrow talis from somebody else, you're not mukhiv in tzitzis minatur. It's only with the Rabbanon. The Gemara says, talis shul, if you borrow talis more than 30 days, so then there's a marisain. It looks as if the you're going to wear a talis for over a month without tzitzis, it looks funny. I wear a talis for a day or two, a week or two, without tzitzis. So people won't be choshed, big shame to think that I'm doing an aveira, I'm being mevatlim. They'll probably be talis, probably not my talis. But if I wear the talis for more than 30 days, so people
seems
will
like
look strange. It looks like it's mine. So Midirabbanan, Mishum Marasayin, they said, a talis shul, a lach lamed yoyim, after wearing it for 30 days, you have to wear tzitzis. So the din is that you only, the chi of tzitzis, the mitzvah tzitzis is only, minatar, it's only if it's shalachem. Because the pasuk also lohem kamfidig dehem, only kamfidig dehem if it belongs to them. So the Shulchan Aruch assumes, what if you have a talis shal kohol? Every shul has a talis. So let's say a person comes in, he forgot his talis at home, or a stranger from another village comes in, and he wants to wear the talis. So the talis, does it belong to him? It's a talis shal shutfin. So in Shulchan Aruch they assume that the talis hakohol is on the shutfas by all the people in the shul, and whoever takes it, it's self understood that all the people in the kohol are makta to him. They're makta to him that it should belong to him. The same thing the first 2 days of Sukkot is the lulav and the esrik has to be shalachem. The rest of Sukkot is only the rabbanon that you have to shake a lulav, zechel amigdush, and the migdush it was a din deraisa. Based on migdush it was a din deraisa to shake a lulav, kol shiva. But chutz l'migdash is only takonas Rabbi Yechem and Zaki after the churban by Shein. He made a takonas zeichel l'migdash. We shouldn't forget that there used to be such a mitzvah. So you don't need shalachem. The rest of chalamoy tzukis, you don't need shalachem. But on the first 2 days of tzukis, you need shalachem for lulav and esrog. So in Europe, they couldn't afford, every balabas couldn't afford to have his own. In America also years ago, they couldn't afford. So every shul had one set of dalad, one or two. The rabbi had and the shul had. So they had a set of dalad meaning for everybody in the shul. And everybody picked it up, and when they picked it up, they had a mind to be kind, it should belong to them. Then when they put it down, so they had a mind, they're giving it back to the kohol, and the next one that picks it up is kind. It's the same thing, the talis ha-kohol and the esrik ha-kohol. You assume that every person that picks it up, the whole tzibur is makhtan to him. So that's what the Gemara discusses now. What if you have a bor shel shutfin, and the bor is meant for swimming? You have a right to swim in the water, to bathe, and you have a right to take some of the water to drink it. So the water that you're going to take to drink, so the Gemara says, that's like a halukas hashutfin. Kozman, that we're all swimming in the water, we're not making a halukas hashutfin. So the water in the bor is on the shutfin by everybody. So if one of the people is to creek with someone else, and someone made a net and not to get another from the other one, so someone's not allowed to get another, so he's not allowed to swim in the water. That's what says lirchoitz, to bathe in the water, hachanami, that you're not allowed to. Hachmas kinu, when it says in the Mishnah, in the Dorm, there's a lad to use the water from the Bor Shalolei Rigolim. Why? You just said in Amun Aleph that the water in the Bor is on the Shutfas by all of them. So the Gemara says, no, it's talking, he's going to take some of the water to drink it. So it's like a Halukas HaShutfas. It's not like the Esrik Shalkol, it's not making a Halukah. Right. was a little bit along the lines, a little bit along those lines.
A little bit of Esri, it's not good.
Yeah, you can make a halukah by the Esri. But here by the water, we're dividing up the water. So it's self-understood. Whoever draws a bucket of water, that water is his. Whoever you draw a bucket of water, that water is yours. It's not that you're drinking the water, it's on the shul. So the Gemara raises the issue, that should depend on Brera. That should depend on Brera. Do you say, whoever draws the water, that's the water that all that water belongs to him from the very beginning. It's not that that water is on b'shut, because we're all meichel to each other. It can be meichel because we made a netter.
Yeah.
One is not letting go nor from the other. So the Gemara says that should depend on the issue of Brera. Shrei Gemara b'sover Rav Nachman yesh Brera. Does Rav Nachman see the Gemara thought on Amud Aleph? They're discussing this borsha lola regolim. These boris that they had the pasi biros. The second parak in Erevin starts off with the topic of pasi biros. They used to have the boris on the highways and they used to have slight walls around the boris, so that on Shabbos, when the other regalim would be hanging around near the highway, they'd be able to carry a bucket of water out, because on Shabbos you're not allowed to carry in the Rishus Rams. So you can't make real walls around the boris because it's going to block the highway. So they used to make, if they would make an Erev, they would make something like an Erev that didn't block the traffic, but it had the status of Rishus Hayachid in the enclosed area. That's called the Pasi Birois.
Yeah.
And Birois means the Birois that they had the water in over there. So the Gemara there also talks about these Birois that they had on the highways, the Birois Shalot de Rigolim. So on Amud Aleph, the Gemara suggested, the Gemara here rejects it. We already, last week we learned the Maskana that it's not correct. Gemara thought originally that Rav Nachman is to Greek with Rav Sheshes. Rav Nachman thought that the water in the bor is on Beshutvas by all of Klagis. And the Gemara backs out, it's impossible, the water is Hefka. It's not on Beshutvas. But first the Gemara thought it's on the Shutva. So they said, how can that be? But the Mishnah in the Dharm says that if someone is Mudah Hanoah, he's not allowed to drink water from a well that belongs to the municipality of the city where I live, that you're not allowed to get on. But the water from the Bor Shalot the Regalim, you are allowed to drink. But it's also a Shutva. This is a Shutva of the municipality, and this is a Shutva of God's Palazzo. The Gemara says, no, that's a Halukas HaShutva. Whoever, it's self-understood, whoever draws the water, that water always belonged to him. That's not my water. That was his water. That's built in. When you have a shutvis, it's built in. When you make the halukah, that belonged to you and this belonged to me. But isn't that based on the topic of Brera? Does Rav Nachman believe in Brera? The Sover Rav Nachman, yesh Brera, b'hatanan, we have a mishnah in the end of the last perik in Bchoris, the Rav Nachman has a machloikis with who? With Rav Onan. Machloikis Rav Nachman and someone else over there. Rav Nachman says, ain't Brera. Nachman doesn't believe in Brera. So the Gemara says, you're right, everything we said on Amud Aleph is wrong. And Nachman never meant that. No, nobody holds that the Bor Shalot the Regalim is on b'shutvas by Gan Sklal. So the water is Hefker, okay. And it's a different issue that was involved on Amud Aleph. Fine. So this is the Gemara that we left out over here last week. What did they quote over here to demonstrate? What did Rav Nachman say? Rav Nachman made a comment on a Mishnah in the end of Chorus. What does it say in the Mishnah? This is a very famous, difficult Mishnah. There's a double machlekes Rashi in the Rambam over here. There are two girsis, with a vav or without a vav. It says, Hatanan, there is a Mishnah. This Mishnah appears in Bchoris and the Shkolim. The same Mishnah, word for word, appears in two Mesichtas, because it talks about two Didim. The last Perek in Bchoris talks about Maisa Behema. Maisa Behema is a din. If I own Behemas and they gave birth, I own a lot of sheep. Herd, and they gave birth to 10 vladis within the course of the year. What says the year from January 1st to January 1st? That's not from July 1st to July 1st. So the Mishnah says, when is Rosh Hashanah Lamaisa Behemah? Machlek is Hatanaim in the first Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah. So if I own enough sheep that they gave birth to 10 vladis in the course of the year, and all of the 10 sheep were near each other. Not that one is in Golan and one is in Beersheba. No, they have to be within a close proximity to each other. So the 10 sheep were born within the course of 1 year. Let's say 9 sheep are born, then I shecht one of them. So now you only have 8. So then the 10th one is born. So right, I don't have any mice behemoth. There's no din, I'm not allowed to shecht the behemoth. You have to hold your breath. You're not allowed to shecht any behemoths until you mafresh mice behemoth. It's not tevil. There's no din of tevel over here that you're not allowed to eat until you mafresh my space. It's a din. If you have 10 behemoths were born already, and they're near each other, and there's a mitzvah to be mafish ma'aseh beima. So then, if you're going to go shecht one of them, you're only going to have nine now. You won't be able to mafish ma'aseh beima. So then you mevatel a mitzvah. Then you did something improper. Not nishken avera. It's just that you mevatel a mitzvah. So the din is, if you had 10 vlodas were born within the course of a year, so you put them all in a corral, and you have to go out one by one. And then the one that goes out, Hasira Yir Kodesh Lashem, and Yemakriv it is a carbon in the Beis Hamikdash. And Rashi writes on Chumash, it's at the end of Bechu Kaisa, at the end of Chumash Vayikra. Komaiser Bokavatzon Kolosh Yavatachas Hashot, Hasira Yir Kodesh Lashem. So Rashi writes on Chumash, and it says it's a carbon, Yemakriv it in the Beis Hamikdash. It doesn't say who you give it to, it doesn't say you're supposed to give it to the Kohanim. So Rashi says that it's self understood that the Bailam eat it like a Shlomim. The farmer eats it himself.
Like Maaseh Sheni.
Yeah, like you bring Maaseh Sheni to the Beis Hamikdash and the farmer eats it. So here also the owner of the Beim eats it. Rashi is Lapuki, there were Goinim. There was a whole shita among the Goinim that Maaseh Beim is one of the Choftalad Matan Skuna. The Gemara in several places alludes to the fact that there are 24 different Matanas that you give to the Kohanim. You give them Pidyirab Benma, you get the first Aliyah, that's covered, but that's not Matanas, yeah. That's not money. The Chuma Gedayla is Matan Skuna. And Chala, Maisa and Amaisa, and Chatos and Asham, and Chazav Shoyk from Islam and different Matan Skun. So the Goinim have Marangerechent in the 24. The Gemara never says which are the 24. The Gemara just says in a few places that there are 24 Matan Skun, and the Gemara leaves it up to the Shoyim to the Mefarshim to break their heads to try to figure out which are the Chavtalad Matan Skun. And there are different versions. There are more than 24. You have to combine a few together. So Rashi catches a few together, he gives you one calculation. And others have a different calculation. So there was a popular notion in the Sifrei HaGoinim and the Shalas HaTshuvas of the Goinim that Maisa Behema is from the Matnas Kunas, that you're supposed to give it to the Kohanim. Where in the world did they get this idea from? Where in the world did they get it? The answer is, it's a Pasuk in Dira Yomim. It says the Farish. It says that when they brought the Maaseh Behema to the Beis HaMikdash, it said the Farish. They gave it to the Kohanim. The Netziv dug up that pasuk. The Netziv at the very end of Chumash Vayikra has footnotes on the bottom of the page that he calls the Herchev Dover. So he dug up this pasuk and he says, hey, how you talking? How come Rashi writes, it never says in the Gemara anywhere that you give it to the Kohanim. So the Mail itself understood that the farmer keeps the Behema himself. You mark it with it as a carbon, you burn the chelev on the mizbech, and the flesh goes to the farmer. Correct the Netziv, but the goyim are right. So the farish a pasuk and divrei yomim. What's Rashi going to do with the pasuk? So he says maybe it's a mitzvah so shus. The Netziv is machadish. If you want to,
it's nicer to you.
If you want hosta brera, if you'll give it to the kohanim, it'll be a kima mitzvah. If I give a cup of tea to the Kohanim, it won't be a Kiyama Mitzvah. If he's an Ani, it's stuck. If he's Nishkin Ani, there's no Kiyama Mitzvah. But Maisa Behema is an optional Mitzvah. This is a Chiddush, that there's such a concept as an optional Mitzvah. Because the word Mitzvah doesn't mean a good deed. In Yiddish today, we use the word Egetona Mitzvah. He did his good deed for the day. He walked the old lady, helped the old lady across the street, and he carried a package of the Egetona Mitzvah. That's not what the word mitzvah means. The word mitzvah means you're obligated to do it. You're obligated to help the old lady if she needs some help. You command it. Mitzvah means mitzvah. You command it to do it. So how can you say that there's such a thing as a mitzvah so shus? Or they quote from the Vilna Gaon famous word that eating matzah is the first night of Pesach, you're obligated. The rest of the 7 days of Pesach is a kiyum mitzvah. If you don't eat it, you didn't mevatel a mitzvah, but if you ate matzah as opposed to potatoes, you are mekayim a mitzvah. So that's the whole idea is an ein fader. Such a thing as a mitzvah so shus, you're not obligated to do it, but if you did it, has to mekayim given a mitzvah. What do you mean? The word mitzvah means mechuyim, mitzvah. So that's what the Vilna Gaon said. No, there's such a thing as a mitzvah so shus.
Abba Kamfis also. If you buy a baguette,
you Abba Kamfis is a conditional mitzvah.
Yeah.
If a fellow is a homeless fellow, he sleeps in the park, he doesn't have a mitzvah mezuzah market. Yeah. He lives in a house, then it's conditional, then you have. My wife gave birth, the first baby was a girl, so I didn't have pidyon haben. If my wife would have had a baby boy, would have had a mitzvah pidyon haben. So pidyon haben is an absolute chiyuv, but conditional. If you have a baby boy, if you don't have a baby boy, so there's no mitzvah milo. If you have a baby boy, there's a mitzvah milo.
Ain't a mitzvah. Somebody does a mitzvah, they ain't a mitzvah, like a woman. So if she has a mitzvah.
Yeah. That is. half similar, but it's not the same. It means by a woman is not mechuyev to shake a lulav. A woman is not mechuyev to listen to tisha, but the men are mechuyev. So by the men, it's mitzvah in the sense, mamish, obligated. You're commanded that you have to do. Women are not commanded, so then we say, if she'll volunteer, it'll be eina mitzvah v'yosef. She's volunteering what by the men is a mitzvah.
But she's getting a schar.
So she gets schar. She gets schar.
She also says that for kitzvah mitzvah mitzvah.
That's how we pass it, yes. Because it is a mitzvah. But here we're pointing out there's such a thing that's called a mitzvah. No one is mechuyev. No one is mechuyev to give the ma'aseh behemoth to the Kohanim. Then it's siv tutu fachidish based on this pasuk in Divrei Hayomim. That if you're volunteered to give it, it'll be a kiyuma mitzvah, mitzvah kiyumas. That's a chiddush that such a thing exists.
I think there was much time to say that
mitzvah kiyumas. Similar, right. On the first page of my new sefer, I quote this Rav Moshe and this Nitziv and the Vilna Gaon. Yeah, there is such a thing. So the Mishnah, the last perek in Mishnayos. And Maseches Bchoris deals with the dinim by Ma'aseh Behema. Okay, so that's why this Mishnah, which deals with Ma'aseh Behema, appears in the last perek in Bchoris. Then it also appears in Mishnah Shkolim in the first perek, because the Mishnah is going to talk about a certain aspect of Machza Shekel. Machza Shekel, we all know the din is that the Korbanos Tzibur, the Korbanos Yochin, Korbanos HaTzibur. A person wants to volunteer to bring a korban to the Beis Hamikdash, that's his Yeshev. Let's say a person was Mechal Shabbos B'Shergig, he's obligated to bring a Korban Chatos or whatever he got with money, and sometimes he has to bring Hashem Gzeilus or whatever. So that's a Korban Yochid. A Korban Pesach is a Korban Yochid. You have to pay for your own Korban Pesach. You pay for the Korban, so you're the Bala Korban. It's a Korban Yochid. But then there's a Korban Sibur that has to be paid for by the Machzah Shekel money, the Tmidim Umasafim. Every day of the year you bring two Tmidim, Tamash HaShachah, Tamash HaBein HaBayim, and then on Shabbos and Yontem, Rosh Chodesh and Chalamot, you bring the Musafim. So the minimum of Karbanos Tzibur, they have to be purchased by Machzah Shekel money. And if a wealthy balabas wants to donate $5 million to cover all the expenses, so the Mishnah says we don't accept it. It has to be dafke purchased with the Machzah Shekel money, and everybody has to give the same amount. It's a special pasuk. It doesn't mean that no one is allowed to give more than a Machzah Shekel. That's not true. We're going to learn the din in a half a minute that it's not true. The Rambam writes to how to figure out how many people can they count on to give Machzah Shekel. What's the Jewish population of the world? Some generation you have a big population, some generation there are plagues, there are sickness, epidemics, there are pogroms, there are Muhammad. You have a smaller population. So you have to figure out what is the world Jewish population. Then you have to figure out from the world Jewish population how many people are going to give. They're all very religious, but it's a given geld kumtusnit. It doesn't necessarily mean that they're all going to give. And how many are going to give on time? It doesn't help. They're going to pledge. They're going to pledge. They're going to pay out next year. We have to buy the korbanos today. So we have to figure out how many people are going to give. Then you have to figure out how many korbanos do you need. Is this year going to have 12 months or 13 months? It's going to have, the Shana Mubarak is going to have 13 months.
Need more.
So then you need another 60 to meet him. Every day, Tomash HaShach, Tomash HaBeinam. And Shabbos. And Rosh Chodesh, so you're going to need more. Then you have to figure out what is the price of the animals going to be, and there may be inflation. What do you think in May? What's the maximum? How much could it possibly go up higher? So you have to figure out how many people are going to give, and how many animals do you need, and how much is it going to cost? That's a machlokes. In the Chumash, it says when you take a census and the people are giving machzus hashekel for the purpose of taking a census. So the census is to determine how many soldiers you have in the army. So you're not allowed to draft someone less than the age of 20. That's a problem now in Eretz, they draft from the age of earlier, from 18. That's against the din. The din is you're only allowed to draft from the age of 20 up. So the Chumash says, in Beres Mishana Vamala, when you take a census, because the purpose of the census is for security, to find out how many people do you think will come to the army if you have to go to war. But for the purpose of Machzah Sashek, the mitzvah, the doira, is that that's not for taking a census. That's for the purpose of funding the Karbanos Tzibur. So that's a machlokes
Rishonim. So
some Rishonim say by mitzvah, and others say also 20. They say, no, it's all based on that pasuk, and the pasuk says 20, so it's also 20. That's the Shaila, whether there's a manuscript from one of the Rishonim that's known to be a forgery. So the fellow was a shtikal apikoros, the guy who put it out, a wise guy, a crackpot. So he put into the words of the Rosh, he put into the Tshuvas HaRosh, It's called the B'Sam and Rosh. Shalas HaTshuvas HaRosh, he claimed. So he put in that a person younger than 20 is not obligated to give Machza Shekel, and therefore he's not Mukhif to Davim Musaf. Shachris Mincha Mayriv, that has nothing to do with the Karbonis. On the second, Shachris and Mincha, Mechubin Keneged, the Zman of Nakrovis HaKarbonis. But davening is Rachme. You want to be mispalt, but Musaf, that's not Rachme. Musaf is only Nishalma form Sosein. So if before the age of 20, he puts into the mouth of the Rosh that you're not Mukhif to pay for the Karbana Sibur, so then you're not Mukhif to Davin Musaf either. So therefore, if he wants to volunteer to Davin Musaf, he doesn't pay, but he can't be the Shliach Sibur. But he can't be the Shliach Sibur, because he can't be Moitzi the Sibur if he's not Mukhif at all. So that's the Chiddush that he has. No? But one of my sons just became 20 a couple of months ago, so now he always used to Davin for Davin Musaf. So now he feels better about it, because he knows that there was one opinion that before the age of 20 you're not supposed to daven for anon. So this Mishnah that the Gemara is going to quote appears in two places. It appears in Shkolim, because it's going to deal a little bit about Bachta Shekel, and it appears also in the last parik in Choris, because it's going to talk about Maisa Beim. So now the Pasuk says Ha'osha la'yarbe la'hadal la'yamid. It doesn't mean no one is allowed to give a penny more or a penny less than Bachta Shekel. That's not what it means. What it means is no one can give more or less than anybody else. Everybody has to give the same amount. Most of the time, they probably give way more than Machza Shekel. If you make a calculation, the Rambam writes like this. In the beginning of the Bayesheni, hardly anybody showed up to Eretz Yisrael. Ruba the Ruba of the world Jewish populations remained behind in Bavel. So from the people who came to Eretz Yisrael also, how many of them gave Machza Shekel? You can't rely on everybody to give. So they had to give much more. They demanded of everyone to give much more for Machza Shekel. Machza Shekel is a minimum, the Rambam writes. Even if you have 5 million Jews giving on time, and there's more than enough money, what are we going to do with so much money? We're going to have a surplus, it's going to be too much money. The halacha says you can't get away with giving less than a half a shekel. You always have to give a minimum of a half a shekel. But the Rambam writes that most of the time, Rav Pamim was way more than a Machza Shekel. Everyone had a debezin determined that this year everybody has to give 25 shekels for a purpose of purchasing Karbanas Tzibur. And the pasuk that says Ha'oshev Ayav V'Adal Yam doesn't mean the Ha'oshev is not allowed to give more than Machza Shekel. Means the Ha'oshev is not allowed to give more than the poor man, and the poor man is not allowed to give less than the rich man. If the rich man wants to and the poor people agree, I can give Machza Shekel for Reuven and for Shimon and for Levi. He has to be maskim. The anim have to be maskim. But it's not that I want to give, my Machza Shekel is going to be $5,000, and he's going to give Machza Shekel. No, that's the Yisr. That's the Pasuk that you're not allowed to.
Doesn't the Pasuk say,
yeah, I don't know. But that's clear in the Mishnah. It's that most of the time they gave way more than Machza Shekel. The only time they gave Machza Shekel was when that's certainly going to cover the amount. So then then it didn't says in the Mishnah you can't get away with giving less a Machza Shekel. Most of the time it was more.
Can you later on call him to get more money? You see you didn't have enough from what you collected?
Yeah. Then the Mishnah said then you get stuck, you have to collect again.
So yeah, everybody has to give again.
Yeah. They had to collect in advance way more on the possibility that it may be a Shana Muberis. They may not be a Shana Muberis. Yeah. And then the Mishnah is discussed, what do you do with all the leftover money? There was always leftover money. Yeah. The Mishnah talks theoretically, what will happen if they ran out of money in the middle of the year? Now, I don't think it ever happened. But the Mishnah does discuss, what do you do if the price of the behemoth went up so much and they used up all the money? What do you do? So the Mishnah said, you collect all over again. You have to say, you don't accept a donation from a private person, that's against Allah. So one of the dinim that it says in the Mishnah that they always gave more than Machza Shekel was a kalbon. There's an institution of a kalbon. When you give your Machza Shekel, you give another half a dollar, another quarter. What's this surplus all about? What is this all about? So this is a major machlokes Rashi and there are both issues that are dealt with, and this Mishnah appears in two places, in Shkolim with respect to the kalbon, the extra quarter that you give in addition to the Machza Shekel. And it appears also in Mishnayis and Meiser in Becheris. And the last parak of Becheris, which is the parak about Meiser Behemah, that's the name of the parak Meiser Behemah. So on both topics, the issue of the Machza Shekel, the Kalbon, the extra quarter that you give, and the issue of Meiser Behemah, is a big machlokes Rashi and the Rambam. What in the world is the whole thing talking about? What's the whole issue that's going on? And part of the issue has to do with the girsa, whether it says ha'achim ha'shutfim, the way we have it, Rashi's girsa, and the Ravid's girsa. The Ravid says the Rambam is wrong, he had a wrong girsa. And the Rambam had a girsa, ha'achim ve'ha'shutfim. The Rambam had a vav, ha'achim ve'ha'shutfim. So the Rashi's opinion here, Rashi, first of all, Rashi writes over here that this halacha, that you give a cow bone, you give a machzah shekel with another quarter, it's only an issue of the Rabbanim. It's not a din d'oraisa. That's how the Minchas Chinuch writes, and Minchas Chinuch doesn't quote this Rashi. Rashi writes in a few places in Shas. Rashi writes, "Itilu chachamim aleihem." See the long Rashi here. The Rashi did a maskel kishechayovim bekalbon pturim mimaisa beheimo. Kishechayovim, so Rashi writes, "Itilu chachamim aleihem." Itilu chachamim aleihem. The Chachamim required you have to give an extra quarter. What is that all about? So Rashi says only a din derabbanim. It's not a din derais.
Minchas Chinuch also writes like this. Or rubbed off the money if it's not going to be worth this much, the kalbon?
No, it's a different thing. The Minchas Chinuch also insists like this. It doesn't quote the Rashi. Minchas Chinuch writes on Parshas Kisisa, when he writes on Machzah Shekel about the kalbon. He also writes, Behechreach, it has to be a din derabban, can't be a din derais, because the Mishnais and the first parak in Shkolim say that if I'm donating Machzah Shekel, I'm here, I'm the rich man in here, and there are many poor people in my village. So I'm not allowed to give more than them, but I can make an agreement with them. I'll be mitzi everybody. So I give a whole list, I give a reshim of all the citizens of my city, all those after bar mitzvah, after 20, whatever, the men give, the women don't have to give. And I say, they all agree, they authorize me, I'm giving Machzah Shekel for this one, for that one, for that one. I'm giving on their behalf, so it says in Mishnah, I'm not mechuyev to give the kalbon, the extra. If it's a real din derais, you have to give a kalbon, so why do I get away without the kalbon? So it's mashma, the whole thing's only with the Rabbanan, and that's why the Chachamim sometimes didn't require that you have to give the extra kalbon. So what is the whole thing all about? What is the kalbon? So Rashi Shita is...
Rashi says here, in bigger money, and therefore you have to, when you exchange it, you have to give a little more.
Yeah. No, not rub that. No. Rashi says when you go to exchange it by a bank.
You have to give a little more. They don't want to take the coins.
No, not they don't want to take the coins. No, if you want to change, if I take, let's say, $1 and I ask for $2.50, he's going to charge
me
2 cents
commission
for exchanging.
Right.
So that's the commission that you charge. But why? Service charge. That's what it is, a service charge for exchanging money. So why are you mechuyev to give this service charge? I'm giving machta shekels. What's the problem? So Rashi shtelt zu the following din. There is a pasuk in the beginning of Parshas Kisiso that talks about
isn't it the same thing as the chumash with Masa Shani?
No, different.
This is pidyon.
The pasuk in Parshas Kisiso speaks about shemen mishchas kodesh. When you make a kohen gadol, so you do mishicha b'shemen hakodesh. When you make a melech from the malchut beis David, you do mishicha. You use shemen mishchas kodesh, shemen hamishcha. All the kelim, kol hakelim shasam Moshe, mishichasam mekad shasam. All the kelim that Moshe Rabbeinu made from the mishkan, mishicha was mekadosh. The Mishkan itself, Moshe Rabbeinu did Mishicha, and the Oren, the Kelim, the Lucha, everything had Mishicha. So this Shemen HaMishcha, they had to cook the Shemen together with special herbs that it should have a fragrant scent. So the Pasuk says, what herbs, what besomim you should use. Kach lecha besomim rosh, you should take good smelling vegetables. So it says you should take 500 units of Mor Dror Chamesh Meos. The Kinmon Besem and another Besem, you should use Machtzisa Chamisha Mamasai. Half of it should be 250. Alosh.
Yeah.
Half of it should be. So in higher mathematics, so half of it is 250, so the sum total is 500. So why does it say Azay Tzedrek? It says take 500 units of Mardror and 500 units of Kinmon Besem. It doesn't say that. It takes 250 times 2 units of Kinman Besim. The Zog take 500 units. The Rashi quotes from the Gemara that Kasha. 250 times 2 is 500. So the answer is whenever you weigh the summing for Hegdish, You're weighing on a scale, so you have to add a little extra. So if you're weighing 500 units, 500 pounds, whatever it is, if you're weighing 500 units at a time, so you only have to give one hechreya. You only have to give a little bit more to tip the scale. If you're going to weigh twice, 250 twice now, 250, then you have to give a double hechreya. So that's what Rashi quotes from the Gemara that did. The reason why the Torah writes it twice, laharbez boy beis hachrois, she'en shoklem ayin b'yayin, and the Gemara increases daf hei. So Rashi on the Gemara quotes that din. He doesn't quote. He assumes that everybody knows what he's talking about. That's a din of Hechreya. So Rashi says that's what the institution of Kalban is all about. Anyone who gives Machtzis HaShekel, not exactly the same though. They're talking about weighing.
Yeah.
They want to make sure that you have the right amount. So
you
have to give
tip a little bit
extra, slightly more. But here it's not the same.
It's very hard
you know what
a
Machtzis HaShekel
is. Exactly. So you have to
weight.
Right, but wait for you understand. But here we're not talking about, we're talking about money. The Machtzis HaShekel is Machtzis HaShekel, 50 cents, no? So we know what Machtzis HaShekel is, not 50 cents. We know what a Machtzis HaShekel is. So calculate it. So Rashi says, no, it's also din of Hechreya. Everybody who gives Machtzis HaShekel has to give a Hechreya. That's a din deraisa. In weighing, it's a din deraisa. It's not enough in the pasuk. That this is more dror, it's 500. In Kenei Bosem, it's Machtzisto Chamishim HaMasayim. It's 250 times twice. So each one you need a hachra. Here you're not talking about weight, here you're talking about an amount of money. So Rashi uses the lashon, it's a hachra, but this is only midirabbanan. This is hitzricha chachamim, hitilu chachamim aleihem, that you have to give a hachra. Every person, that's Rashi Shita, everyone who gives machtzis shekel has to give, midirabbanan has to give a little extra, a kalbon. And how much is that extra? That's the amount that they would, the service charge amount that they would charge if you go to a bank and you try to exchange a shekel for machtzis HaShekel. How much would they charge you for it? It's a certain percentage of the money that you switch. And let's say two people have a business together. Two people on business, they're not related to each other. Reuven and Shimon, they have a shutfus together. And they want to give a shekel together. So Rashi's sheet is they have to give two hachrois. I have to give, we happen to be the business together, so I have to give a kalbon for my machta shekel. You have to give a kalbon for your machta shekel. That's Rashi's sheet.
The father can give for
one. Oh, and father, if the father is giving for his children, then the din does not require. Whenever I'm donating on behalf of someone else, I'm a good hearted person. I'm giving for. If two partners get together, they have to give two kalbonis. I don't know. The Rashi and the Bechoris also has it. It always says kalbon sheni, and the Bach always crosses out the kalbon sheni. It should say patman akalban, I think.
Oh, why should he be putting in kalban? Because he gives a whole shekel, so you don't have to
giving,
change it.
No, because he's giving for someone else. He's giving for someone else, so you're not mechuyev. That's also a Mishnah. If the rich man gives with the poor people, so the Mishnah says not mechuyev to give kalban. Why not? So that's what the Minchas Chinuch says. Obviously, it's only midirabbanan. Hey, mama, hey, mama. It's only midirabbanan. So he's doing a teiva. So if the father is giving for the children, he's not mechuyev to give for his children. They're all mechuyev on their own. If father's giving for the children, you're not mechuyev to give kalban. We'll go into the details soon. So that's how Rashi learns. The Rambam doesn't learn like this at all. The Rambam learns, no, when I give a machtzis HaShekel, I'm giving a half a shekel. I don't have to give any kalbon. What hachroa? Hachroa, that's in weight.
Yeah,
in weight, you want to tip the scale to make sure you're not
you
making a mistake. But in cash and an amount of money, so you're giving machtzis HaShekels.
Yeah.
What's the problem? What kind of a din of hachroa? Rashi uses the word hachroa. Rashi uses later the word of hachroa. So the Rambam... The Rambam understands the din differently. That in order to get a machtzis HaShekel, people often go with shkolin. And if he only has to give a machtzis HaShekel, he's going to go to the bank and exchange it. So since in order to change a shekel into a machtzis HaShekel, there's going to be a service charge of 2-3 pennies, So what if two people together are business together, whatever, and they want to give one shekel? So if they would have, if each one would have given his own machzor shekel, he would have probably had to go to the bank to pay the service charge. And now that they're giving a shekel to take care of both, so they're both saving themselves the service charge. So the only time, the Rambam holds, the only time you give a cow bone this extra nickel is when two people are joining together to give one shekel, then they give one cow bone. Not like Rashi says. Everyone who gives matzah shekel has to give a kalbon, an extra nickel. And if two people are joining together to give one shekel, they got to give two kalbonis.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the word kalbon shein is probably a misprint. It probably should say potem and a kalbon, period. Because Rashi and Bchoris keeps on writing kalbon shein, it doesn't read straight. So the Bach keeps on crossing out. In Bchoris, the Bach keeps on crossing out the word kalbon shein. It should just say potem and a kalbon. The Rashi and the Rambam have totally different pshatim about what the Kalban issue is all about. What the institution is probably only the Rabbanon, Pashtus like Rashi says, like the Menchas Chinuch, it's only the Rabbanon. But when did they institute it? So Rashi Shita, everybody who gives Machzor Shekel has to give Kalban based on the principle of Hachroah, based on Apostolic in Kisisa. That when you're weighing, you have to give Hachroah. So the Rabbanon, they introduced the Hachroah here too.
What's the shortest of the word Kalban?
A Goyish word. It's not a Hebrew word. Yeah, it's a Greek word probably. I don't know what the shirish is. A good question. I'm not sure. And the Rambam totally is not like Rashi. The Rambam in Gansen not like Rashi. Minchas Chinuch does not point this out. I don't remember who someone else points this out. I saw it many years ago. The fundamental machleg is Rashi and the Rambam. What is the Kalbon institution all about? The Rambam holds, also on the Rabbanon, the Rambam holds it's only when two people together are giving one shekel, and then they're saving themselves the service charge that the bank would have taken in order
to
split. So let them give the one service charge. Not that each one has to give that Shnei Kalboidim. They give one service charge to the... And then there are cases when you don't have to give any service charge. So that's what we're going to have to discuss. When, if I give for the poor people, the rich man gives for the poor, says not muhayib to give. What case does it say that you don't have to give a service charge? So that we'll have to see. We'll have to deal with
it. If they don't give a shekel, then the bank does, they don't have to do a service charge. Why do they need a carbon?
So other people should give the same amount.
Those who are changing, who are getting service.
Yeah, so
but they're not getting
the bank. They give it to the Chagdish.
I don't know.
Service.
Why, Why do they institute such a thing? I don't know. According to the Ram, why do they institute? I don't know.
I thought they wanted to take the small money from the Hegdish and change it to big money so they don't have to keep such big money. And then they would have to pay, the Hegdish would have to pay the bank to give them bigger money. And that's why people should give the Kalbon to cover that exchange.
I don't think that's
no?
The Rambam learns, no. The Rambam learns the only time you have to give the Kalbon, the extra amount,
is
the two are joining together to give one shekel. If a person gives machzor shekel, he doesn't give a penny. Only if two are joining together and they're giving a shekel and they're sparing themselves this charge, then
they give the charge to the
Hegdish. Give the charge to the Hegdish.
No, the other people shouldn't have their charge, and they're saving their charge. No,
and then the Mishnah has a discussion of, and what do you do with the machzor shekel? And what do you do with the kalbon? The kalbon is not really part of the machzor shekel. Varaya, that some of the people don't give the kalbon. It says that if a person is not mechuyif to give, let's say a woman wants to volunteer to give machzor shekel, not mechuyif to give. She wants to volunteer, you accept it. She's not mechuyif to give kalbon. It says kohanim are mechuyif. There's a machlokes in Satanan whether kohanim are mechuyif to give machzor shekel or not. We pass in the kohanim are mechuyif. But even though they're mechuyif, it says they don't have to give kalbon. The Mishnah doesn't give any reason why. They don't have to give kalbon. So even the people, because it's only midirabbanon, the whole institution of kalbon is only midirabbanon. So hey, mom, they decided to part certain people from kalbon. So the question is, so you can't mix it together with the rest of the money of the machzor shekel. Machzor shekel money is for the purpose of purchasing korban sibur. The kalbon is not really, it's more than the machzor shekel. So you can't mix it together and use it for the purpose of purchasing the korban sibur. So most of the Tanaim hold like that. One Tana, the Mishnah Shkolim has a machlokes Tanaim, what do you do with the kalbon? So one Tana, there are five or six Tanaim. The one Tana says, no, you mix it all in together, goes in the pot together, and you purchase all the Karbonis Tiba. So the Rambam says, we don't pass from like that Tana. He was outvoted. which Tana do we paskin like from the other four, five, six shitas? So that the Rambam doesn't take a stand. He said, that's the question, what do you do with it? Do you buy kaitam as beach? Do you fix up the Beis HaMikdash with it? Whatever you do, but we assume you don't mix it in with the regular Machzor Shekel money. That you're giving more than because half of the people are not giving kalbon. It's not required of everyone to give kalbon.
How do the easy to separate? No.
Once you start,
in other words, if I come with a shekel to the money, he's going to split it for me in half, but he takes a percentage.
Okay. No, what I give him, the service charge he keeps. He walks away, that's in his pocket.
In addition to that,
when I give him to the Beis HaMikdash, I give my Machzor Shekel, I have to give in addition another nickel, another dime, a kalbon. And then what do you do with that additional money? So Rov HaTanoim hold that you do not mix in the kalbonis with the rest of the money in the pot for the purpose of purchasing the Korban Sivo. Has to go in a separate fund, then you do something else with it. What exactly do you do? So the Rambam doesn't take a stand. He says, well, look in the Mishnah. There's different opinions in Tanoi. Look in the Mishnah.
Is there a din of Mila on the
top? Yeah, it's Hegdish. It's not the same Hegdish. Hegdish, there are different brands of Hegdish. There's Hegdish for the purpose of purchasing Korban Sivo, but then there's Hegdish for other purposes. That clearly is Hegdish, there's Mila, but it's for a different purpose. So here the Mishnah has that sometimes you don't have to give Kalban. When is that? Her Achim Ashutfim, sometimes they're not Chayavim, sometimes the Pturim in a Kalban. When is that the Pturim in a Kalban? When is it? When are they Chayavim the Kalban? When are they Pturim in a Kalban? So the Rashi had the Girsa like we have. Rashi and the Rabbit have the Girsa. Ha'achim ha'shutzim, not ha'achim ze'ha'shutzim. Either brothers, the father died and the brothers are all, they're all the 12 brothers and they're all shutzim in the Yerusha. That's one kind of shutzim. Or shutzim. 12 people became shutzim together. 5 people became shutzim together. So Rashi's Girsa is like the Rabbit. Only ha'achim ha'shutzim. There's a special din, Rashi calls it, the Mishnah is called it, Tfusas Habayis. When the father dies, when the rich uncle dies, and he leaves the Yerusha for all the nephews, for all the children, whatever, so everything belongs to everybody, B'shutfis is a different kind of Shutfis. If we decide to go into Shutfis, and I put up $100,000, you put up $100,000, then we start building and expanding and making business and everything, that's one kind of Shutfis. I own half, and you own half, whatever. I own 20%, you own 80%, whatever the percentages are. And then we invest, and I have 20% of the day, you have 80% of the day, okay. And then we invest, and we get the rebach, 20, 80, whatever it happens to be. Achim Ashutfim is a special din of Tfus Abayis. You don't say that I own 50%, you own 50%. Let's say, you say, all together, we all own everything together. We treat it as if all of the Yerushim before they made a Chalukah, as if all the Yerushim together own everything, and that is called by the Mishnah in Chorus, that's called either Tfusas Habayis or Tfisas Habayis. Some of the Galician and Tanayim called it Tfisas Habayis, and the Litvish called it Tfusas Habayis. My grandmother, Allah Shalom, was a Galician, so she was always embarrassed. I don't know what she was embarrassed, so she didn't want to get caught, so she would always change everything to a ooh. So she used to talk about when you daven in the shul, is the shul have a mechutzah? She switched all the E's to U's. The mechutzah in the shul. She didn't want anybody to know that she was a Galician. So the Mishnah has two girsas in Bechiris. Sometimes
it's called Galician.
Yeah. So some Mishnahs have the girsa Tfisas Habayis, some Mishnahs have the girsa Tfusas Habayis. Whatever the girsas make a difference, the word represents this concept that when the Moirish dies, it doesn't have to be a father with children, it could be a rich uncle with nephews also. It could be a fifth cousin. When someone dies and the Yerusha goes to a few people, it's a different kind of shutfus. If you have shutfim on business together, they happen to become shutfim together. So I own 5%, you own 5%, he owns 5%, he owns 20%, whatever. Each one owns part. And over here we say, no, everybody together owns everything. My nafkamina, what's the difference?
Well, so, you do a bechor. It's pishnaim.
Okay. When it comes to the chalukah. Before the Chalukah, there's no Pishnaim. When it comes to Chalukah, Ein Lebchor Kodem Chalukah. When it comes to the dividing, then he gets his Pishnaim. So what's the Nafkemina LaHalacha? What do you say? Everybody owns everything, or each one of what? Just a bunch of words, just philosophy. So Rashi has the Achuzah. I don't know about that. So here, here Rashi and the Ravid claim that this special din, these two special dinim, only apply by Tfus Abayis, doesn't apply to Shutzus. So Rashi, maybe we'll start the Maisa Behem and then we'll get to the, we'll start with the Maisa Behem and then we'll get back to the Machta Shek. Maisa Behem is easier to explain. The Rashi funks on Azai. There are some dinim in the Torah that you can fulfill the Shutfis, and there are some dinim that do not apply the Shutfis. Let's say we just said, an estrig is on the Shutfis by a couple of Shutfis. The Gemara says, the father bought the Dalminim and he died before Sukkot. And the children are all Shutfim and the Dalminim. So the Gemara says, it's no good. They have to be Makne, they have to be Shalachem. And Shalachem and Shutfis is no good. Let's say you have a Talis that's on the Shutfis by a few people. So you're not yet in the mitzvah tzitzis. The reason why it works talis shel kol, because it's assumed we're all makna to that person. Whoever takes it, we all want to be makna the dalaminim to him, so it's only his. It's exclusively his. So the Gemara in the end of Chulin has a whole sugya. How do you determine, how do you have the Ruach HaKodesh to determine which mitzvahs apply even when it's owned, when the thing is owned? Let's say you have a field that's owned in Eretz Yisrael, b'shutfis, so you have to be makrish trumas and mitzvahs. So the Gemara says yes. You have to give leket shikcha peh to their name. Yes, even though it's on the shutzis. So which din, let's say, when you shech the bein, you have to give away zral achayayim hakeva to the kohanim, matan skuna. So even if the slaughterhouse is on the shutzis, you also have to give zral achayayim hakeva. So how did you know to say that lulav, no, and tzitzis, no, and some mitzvahs, yes? How do you know which mitzvahs do apply to shutzis, which mitzvahs not? So the Gemara says, zeh haklal. The Gemara says, the klal is, how does it say chumash? Does it say lecho? Or does it say shalachem? If it says in this thing you're lalacha, you didn't tasa lacha. Allah bekafas tzitzcha shetachasavah. State loshim yochid. Even on the other pasuk says v'asa lahem tzitzus akanti dig dehem.
Yeah.
There it says plural. Basically, it's akash, it's agutikash. But here the Gemara says you didn't tasa lacha. The mitzvah tzitzus state in two places. It says in shlach, the end of shlach.
Yeah,
there it says in the plural. But then a chumash dvarim it says in the singular. So the Gemara says, since the pasuk has tzitzis in the singular, so it doesn't apply to shutzis. But about hafrashas, trumas, and maisis, and all the mitzvot we dvar, that appears in the plural, so that even applies to shutzim as well. There's a famous discussion in Poskim. Lulav is akasha also. Lulav is akasha. Lulav is akasha. In fact, the Minchas Chinuch wants to tell you that we shouldn't pass like that Gemara. The Gemara in Yesh Nechon says that you're not Yotzei Lulav Shol Shutfim, you're not Yotzei, unless you're Makna. So he wants to say maybe we shouldn't pass him. The Shulchan Aruch says like that. He's Ma'arer on the Psak and the Shulchan Aruch. Maybe we should not pass him like that because this Gemara in the end of Chulin says it all depends whether it's written in the singular or in the plural. So Lulav says in the plural. So you should say that you're Yotzei, even Bishut Akash. That's a good Kash.
No,
lakachtem. That's his kasha. Lakachtem lachem. That's his kasha. It says in the plural. There's a famous discussion in the later achrayim from the 1700s, 1800s. There's a machlekes. There is a mitzvah of ksiva sefer Torah. The mitzvah. Everyone has an obligation to write a sefer Torah. Everyone has an obligation. What if you have 1,000 people get together? And each one gives a few dollars, and they write a sefer Torah b'shutfis. Are you yotzei or not? That's what they always did in Europe. Wealthy balabatim throughout all the generations would engage a sefer, and he would write a sefer Torah for them, private sefer Torah. And the rest of the people couldn't afford. Every Jew can afford to write it. You have time, you have money to engage a sefer to write a sefer Torah. So the whole kehillah people live 60, 70, 80 years. Every 40, 50 years, the kehillah would engage a sefer or buy a sefer Torah. And everybody would chip in. So everybody during one time or another in his lifetime, either soon after his bar mitzvah, or if he was right before bar mitzvah the last time, so when he reaches the age of 65, 75, so he would chip in a couple of dollars then, and they would either engage a sefer to write a sefer Torah, or they would buy a sefer Torah, whatever. So everyone would be yotzei a sefer Torah, mitzvah, ksiva sefer Torah, b'shutzvah. So there's a big machlokes in Poskim, are you yotzei the mitzvah, ksiva sefer Torah, b'shutzvah? Maybe you want to write it if you write it all on your own. Sure. So some said, some achrayim write, but the Gemara Chulin gives you what the klal is in the end of Chulin. Gemara says, it all depends how does it appear in Chumash. Does the pasuk appear in the singular? Does it appear in the plural? So since the pasuk here says, kisvu lachem, es ashira hazayit, kisvu lachem, in the plural, zetzin that you can be yotzei b'shutfis. So the other achrayim say, no, we cannot darshim psukim on our own. So they say, what do you mean darshan on your own? But the Gemara gave you the klal. So they say, no, we also don't know. We don't even know how to use the klal of the Gemara. The Gemara knew how to use the klal. We don't even know. That's also considered darshaning tzukma on your own. We don't know. So that's a machlekes achren. The Sridi Yesh has a tshuva about that. Before the Sridi Yesh, they had in the 1800s, they used to pilfer about this. Are you going to succeed or say the Torah? So here Rashi claims, and the Rashi is the Pasha Pshat in the Gemara. Rashi claims, you see the Rashi where it says Chorez Daf Nun Vos, and then it says Shmois chapter Yud Gimel.
Yeah.
So he quotes, it says in Chorez, and he's really quoting Agmar. Rashi is quoting Abbeferish Agmar. The Pasuk says in the singular, Kol Petr Shegebeh Mashiyah Lecha, Yelecha V'loi Shel Shutfis. So state Beferish that the din doesn't apply B'Shutfis. I preg the Gemara Uparchino, the Gemara Frek Takasha, that Pasuk is not talking about Maisa Behemah. Kol Petr Shegebeh is talking about it's talking about Bechor, and Bechor does apply B'shutfis. Barachinu ha-Bechor k'siv, and by Bechor does apply B'shutfis. And for the Gemara, the main winyan of Bechor, these are B'shutfis, the Bechor is B'karchem, B'tzaynchem. See, this Gemara that Rashi is quoting from Bechor Safnun Vav doesn't develop the whole thing. This is a Gemara Chulin. And the end of Chulin, in Perek Hazroa, I think it's Perek Hazrala Chayam Vakeva. The Gemara goes through Psukim and Psukim, a whole Amid Gemara, a whole Amid and a half Gemara. If it's written in the singular, it only applies if it's owned by a single person. It doesn't apply B'shutfis. If it's written in the plural, it does apply B'shutfis. So this Gemara Mcharis is assuming that everybody knows that Gemara Chulis. That's how Rashi read the Pashab Shat and Gemara. The Rambam did not read the Gemara like this. The simple reading of the Gemara is the way Rashi reads it. So the Gemara says that Bechor Behema Tohara state in the plural, Bechor is Bikarchem. It's on chem, so the mitzvah b'chor even applies if it's owned, if the farm is owned b'shutfis. But ma'isa behema, since the pasuk says kopet shegabem shi'ah l'cha in the singular, and it doesn't apply to b'chor because b'chor even applies to shutfis, so amein u'inya l'b'chor today u'inya l'ma'isa behema. So ma'isa behema, Rashi claims, is not noheg b'shutfis. So let's say our great grandfathers had a farm b'shutfis. And then the great-grandfathers died 100 years ago, and then the grandfathers took over, then the grandfathers died, the fathers took over, the fathers died, the children. And we're shutfim me dairi, 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 we're shutfim in this farm. So Rashi says, shutfim are not chayiv in ma'isabeim. They're not chayiv in ma'isabeim. The only shutfis that is an exception to the rule that is chayiv is Fisus Abayi. Because Fisus Abayi is a different kind of a shutfis. Fisus Abayi is not called I own part and you own part. It's a different kind of shutfis. It's considered as if we all together own. You treat all of the yorshim before Chalukah as if they're one unit. So it's a different kind of shutfis. So that's how Rashi read the Mishnah. Achim ha-shutfim, if you have brothers who are shutfim, they didn't divide up yet. So kolzman that it's still tfusis habayis, so the din is chayovim b'maiser. Upturim in a kalbon, then they're not chayiv. Then a chayiv and ma'isa koydim chalukah. If it's still tfusas habayis, so then it's treated as if it's one person who owns all of the behemoths. One person who owns it, so ma'isa behemoth is naik. And then the din is that they're not chayiv to give kalbon. Why? So then Rashi fills in the missing point. This is Rashi the Shitan. So Rashi holds a whole different shot from the Rambam in kalbon. So Rashi says, if the father would be giving machtus hashekel on behalf of his children, he's not mechayev to give for the children. They're mechayev to give on their own. They probably don't make a parnasa. They don't have any money, so they have to go get money from somebody. So whenever one person gives on behalf of someone else, so the one who's donating for the other people is not mechayev to give any kalbim. So if the father would be giving on behalf of the children, he wouldn't have to give any kalbim for them. But the father gestorben, so the children took over the yusha. But still, since it's sabai, they didn't make a chaluki yet. So it's considered, you can't say it's considered if the father's still alive, father's not alive, but it's considered a different kind of a shutfis. So we consider it as if it's this shutfis that's a one unit. It's not that the different people own different shares.
Yeah.
And the partnership, the one unit is giving machzah shekel to several people. It looks as if the father is giving from his money on behalf of the children. So in this case, they never instituted a requirement for kalba. Clearly, Rashi says the whole din of kalba is only with the Rabbanon. It's only with the Rabban. So in this case, they never introduced. But let's say the Achim Ashutfim did make a Chalukah. They did make a Chalukah. They split up. And then later on they decide, they split up, each one thinks he's going to do better on his own. And then for 10 years they were working separately, and then they realize they're making the same money that they made when they may as well be together again. So they rejoin. Oh, so then the Mishnah says no. When the father dies or the rich uncle dies and you have tfusas habayis, that's tfusas habayis. But once you make a halukah as hafal, even if they rejoin, it's like a new shutfus, like a new shutfus yesh mayayin. And regular shutfim apturim min ha-maisa li-yoylam void, they'll never be chayv ha-maisa behem, because the pasuk, they're singular, not plural, and we no longer treat it as tfusas habayis. Any other shutfus, you do have to give kalbo. That's how Rashi read the whole Mishnah. And this Mishnah appears both in Mishnayis and Shkolim with respect to the Machta Shekel with the Kalbon, and in Mishnayis and the last Perik in Bcharis with respect to the Maisa Behemah. The Rambam totally disagrees with everything that Rashi said. The Rambam is very difficult, because the simple reading in the Gemara is the Feirus like Rashi, the singular with the plural, that Maisa Behemah does not apply to Shutfis, and Tfus Abayis is considered as if it's not a Shutfis. The simple reading in the Gemara is like Rashi. So the Noisa Kalim on the Rambam, because Mishnah says he doesn't know how the Rambam is going to be Mestadeh with the Gemara. But the Rambam disagrees, maybe he had a different gears. The Rambam totally disagrees, and the Pirush HaMishnayis and the Al Chazak, he totally disagrees with everything Rashi said. Rambam says a different word. Let's say, I live in America, and I come to Eretz Yisrael and I build a Beis HaMikdosh, and I'm running, oh, I want to bring Maisa Behemah. I don't own any Behemahs. What kind of Maisa Behemah? So I'm going to come to you. You have a farm. You have thousands of behemoths who were born this year. You have plenty of Maisa behemoths. So I say, do me a favor. I want to buy 10 behemoths that were born this year, so I'll be able to bring Maisa behemoths. I'll buy 10, and then I'll put them in a corral, and then I'll go 1, 2, 3, 8, 9, 10, and the 10th one will be good. So the Mishnah says, Lakuach is not chayv a Maisa behemoth. If I bought it, if it was already born, then there's no din of Maisa behemoth. If I buy 10 pregnant cows, and all 10 give birth, now you're talking. I bought 10 pregnant cows and they all gave birth. Or even if I bought 10 vladas, the din is that you can't bring Maisa Behemah before the 8th day. It says in the Chumash, Shor HaKesev Eis Ki Yivoled, Ba Yishibas Yalem Tachasimu, Miyam Shemini Vaholi Yirat Enu Karbini Shal Hashem. Any animal, you have to wait till the 8th day to be Makavit. So the Gemara has a quirk of a din. The Gemara in the last Perek in Torah says, I come to Eretz Yisrael, they build a base. I mean, you have thousands of vladas that were born. I say, sell me 10 that were just born within the last week. So that's called mechus hazman. You can't be makarit before the Yom HaShmini. So the Gemara says, if I buy 10 before the 8th day, and then they become 8 days old by me, that's considered as if they were born by me. So then I am chayv in my behemoth. But if I buy already 10 behemoths that were born a month ago, yeah, from someone else, that's a din lakuach, is pata from my behemoth.
Is Baal allowed to sell? He can sell all of his animals and then there's no
one. Okay. Yeah. The Mishnah talk about Agilat Hashem. Let's say he has hundreds of behemoths, he's going to shech one after the other after the other. The Mishnah say, when is it a bit la mitzvah, when not? Is it, how close is it to yantif? There are didim in the Mishnah, when you're allowed to sell, when you're allowed to shech, and when not.
That's what quarter are allowed to get?
Maisa behema?
Yeah.
No. Lakuach is potter, no, it's not, yeah, it's not maisa behema, chulim bazar. If you want, you can donate it korban shlomit.
Right.
But they won't be called maisa behema. It won't have a din of maisa behema. So the Rambam read the Mishnah totally differently. The Rambam reads like this. The father or the rich uncle, whoever we're talking, died. The person who died, the Moirish, had all of Lodas were born already. Then he died. He died after a week after they were born. They were born a month ago. And then he died. Usually they're born in the springtime, around Nisan. And then he dies later. So when the Yarshim get ownership, they get the Yerusha of all these thousands of behemoths, it's all the Kuach. So they're not Chayim. That's why Shutzvim Apata. Or let's say the Rambam gives a mashal like this. Let's say I have a farm and you have a farm. I had 1,000 behemoths, 1,000 vladas were born in the course of the year. I'm a chuyuf to be mafresh ma'aseh behemoth.
Yeah.
You had 1,000. And we decided, let's make big business, we'll even get
merge,
richer.
Let's merge.
We'll merge.
Buy out.
So when we merge, we join together. Yeah. Not
buy out.
Let's
merge,
say we
yeah.
both join together. So I'm no longer chayv on my tebeim on my thousand. You're no longer chayv on yours. Everything is lakuach, because half of my thousand now belongs to you. Half of your thousand now belongs to me. If I buy you out,
yeah, then it belongs
so
to me.
So the thousand that I bought from you are lakuach, but the thousand that I had before are not lakuach. So the Rambam says, but if we merge, everything becomes lakuach, mm-hmm, because everything is on the shutzos by both of us. And Lakuach is not chayv ma'aseh.
Merging with a profitable arrangement.
Yeah, he saves money on the ma'aseh behemah. He's not chayv.
Yeah.
So that's how the Rambam read that shutfim apotar ma'aseh behemah. It doesn't mean that it's not noig b'shutfim. It's not true. The Rambam says the lashon yochid, but the lashon Rambam. The Rambam is against the Gemara. We don't know what the Rambam is going to deal with the Gemara m'chares that Rashi quoted. It's singular and the plural based on that Gemara chum. The Rambam has a different shot. He says, "Hashutfim shenishtatfu biyachad." So everything, all the behemoths now become lakuach. But the next generation of behemoths, if the 2,000 behemoths will now have ladis next year, so then we will be chayv ma'aseh behemoth.
Always, first.
Or he says, when the father dies, hachem hashutfim. The Mishnah says the brothers are sometimes yes chayv ma'aseh behemoth, sometimes not. So he says, when is it which? He says, simple. The father died after the bloodless were born already, and then he dies. So it's lakuach, because originally it's not lakuach in the sense that he sold it. It's lakuach. It didn't belong to me before they became 8 days old. They belonged to the father. Now after they're ready, you remember Shmini v'Holi Yirat to the Kabbini Shalashem. Now the Yorshim acquire the ownership of it. So that's lakuach. So they're potter. But the next generation will be mechuyev. So that's how the Rambam read the Mishnah. And it doesn't, it's not like Rashi learns, it's a special din of tfusas habayis, tfusas habayis. The Rambam denies it. There's no special din of tfusas habayis. It's lamal v'lamar. The expression appears in the Mishnayis and Choris, but the Rambam says it's irrelevant, it's insignificant. It also doesn't make a difference. If it's lakuch, you pot. If it's not lakuch, then you have. If it's noilet v'shutfis, then you are chayv. So the Rambam says, ha'achim v'hashutfim, the brothers who are partners, or other people that became partners. Sometimes they're chayv ma'aseh behemah, sometimes they're potter from ma'aseh behemah. Avos herzach with the kalbon, and according to the Rambam, the kalbon is totally different from according to Rashi. How did the Rambam learn kalbon? Rashi learned that everybody who gives machzah shekel, he timuch has to give a kalbon. And if two people are b'shutfis and they're giving one shekel, they gotta give two kalbonis. You gotta give two. The Rambam learns, no, if you give machzah shekel, you don't give a kalbon. What do you have to give a kalbon? It's not a hachra. Rashi says it's a hechreya. Hechreya is when you're weighing on skin. It's not a hechreya. It's an amount of money. So the Rambam learns, no, the only time you give a kalbon is if two people together are gaining, they're saving the service charge by giving one shekel. So they're being marviach a little money. So they may as well ask him to donate that money that they're saving to Hegdash. They're making a little profit on it. Mm-hmm. They're saving a little bit by joining together.
Somebody can have a lot of
So, but in this case, where two people get together, they want to save
shekel.
Money, they want to give one shekel. So the Rambam says that's the only thing you have to give kalbon. Only give one kalbon. Not that each one gives kalbon. The Rambam learns you only give one kalbon. So according to the Rambam, what's the din that sometimes you don't have to give kalbon? According to Rashi, what was the din? According to Rashi, the din was if the father is alive, the father is giving for the children. The father is not mechuyev to give kalbon. He's doing out of the goodness of his heart, he's giving on behalf of the children. He's not mechuyev to give kalbon. He's not mechuyev. So even though the father died, but it's still tfusas habayis, we treat it as if it's still on the shutfus, everything together. And also, you don't have to give kalbon. That's how Rashi read it. But the Rambam holds in Gansan different. So according to the Rambam, why don't you have to give kalbon? Sometimes shutfim do have to give, sometimes you don't have to give. It's very unclear. How the Rambam reads the rest of the din in the Mishnah, why sometimes yes, sometimes no, is unclear. So at least this is what the Mishnah is talking about. The Mishnah appears in Shkolim and the Mishnah in Ma'aseh Behemah. So now the Gemara picks up a theme on this Mishnah. The Mishnah said, the way Rashi reads the Mishnah, we understand. The way the Rambam reads it, it's very hard to understand the Hemshach HaGemara. The way Rashi reads, we understand. There is an institution of shutfis. Two strangers get together to make a shutfis. Then there's a super shutfis that's called Tfus HaBayis. When the rich uncle died and leaves the Yerusha, We didn't divide it, or the father died, we didn't divide it yet. That's not only a shit, that's a tfus abayis that we all together own together. Everything together is different. It's not called shutfus, it's as if it's a single ownership. So now the Gemara says, but what if we used to be in the tfus abayis, then we split, and then we rejoin. Then we decide we were doing just as well, we were doing better when we were together, so we merge back again. Do we revert back to the state of tfus abayis, or we just say, no, far foul. Once we separated, so it's a new shutfus. It's a new shutfus. So the Gemara has a machlokes amaroyim. The Omer Rav Onan says that sometimes they can revert back to the original tfusis habayis state. When is that? If you hold yesh breira. If you hold yesh breira, so when the rich uncle died, he left 100 sheep or 100 goats, and you got 50 and I got 50. We're cousins. The rich uncle died. We're cousins, let's say. So I took 50 sheep, you took 50 sheep. So since it's the same min b'minoi, if you hold yesh breres, so I own 50 sheep, midin Yerusha. That's like when the rich uncle died, we all together owned 100 sheep in Yerusha. So when we divided, I own 50 sheep, you own 50 sheep, it's also Yerusha. It's not a haknor, it's not a mechira. It's not that I'm selling you my bailis and your sheep, you're selling them. You don't have to make any haknor. If you hold yesh breres, there's no need for haknor. But let's say the one who died left 100 sheep and 100 goats, and I decide I want the sheep and you want the goats. We both maskim. So sheep and goats have two different meanings. So since they're two different meanings, so no one will say over here yesh breira. How can you say that I get it midin Yerusha? How can it be that midin Yerusha I get the sheep and you get the goats?
You help me.
Let's say I take the factory, you take all the automobiles and all the silver. Let's say. So that's two different meanings. If he left two automobiles and approximately the same, and I take one of them, you take one of them, so he can say yesh breira. But if I take all the automobiles and all the silver, and you take the factory, and we made a shumah that it's approximately equal, even Stephen, so that's not going to be yesh breira. How can you say yesh breira? So that's what Rav Onan says. Lo shana l'shchotu g'dayim k'neged t'layim. When do you say that once they made a haluka, even if they want to join back again, they will never revert back to the state of tfusis habayis? It'll be a shutfis, but it won't be a tfus habayis. That's only if when they made the haluka, it was two different meaning. So you couldn't say yesh breir. Avol, if it was kolku gedoyim keneged gedoyim, or tloim keneged tloim, you took sheep and I took sheep, you took goats and I took goats, we took the same thing. Mimbe minoi. And then, so that's, then he holds yesh breira, then that's nachalta din Yerusha. So then if you join back together again, you revert back to the original state of the tfusis habayis, and you say, zel chalka hamagim mishor rishayna lakach, you say yesh breira, and you can revert back to the original state of tfusis habayis. And Rav Nachman disagrees, and he holds not true, he holds yesh breira. So even if it's going to be mim b'minoi, even if it's going to be sheep against sheep, or goat against goat, still he holds it ain't breira.
Everybody
he still holds name breira.
Once you divide it,
so I had to be makne my share in your goat. You had to be makne your share in my goat. So then we have no shaykhs with each other. That's a mecher. I sold you my bailus. He sold me your. Then if we join together, it's not going to be. We're not going to revert back to a tfus habayis. It'll be a plain old shutfus. That's how Rashi learns. Because Rashi holds that there's a difference between shutfim and tfus habayis. A tfus habayis is a super shutfus that only applies before chalukah. After the rich uncle died, and then sometimes you can revert back, sometimes not. According to the Rambam, what in the world is the whole topic all about? The Rambam does not distinguish between a tfus habayis and another shutfus. So
thing.
What's the whole meduber in the Gemara? I don't know. The Mepharshim don't work. Some of there are some who did, but on the daf they don't. They just say they don't know exactly how the Rambam read this Gemara.
No problem with shmitas, and could they have told you come back?
Yoidel. If it's karka, there's a topic of yoyva.
Yeah.
Karka now as well, be a topic of yoyva. Yeah. So that the whole purpose of quoting this whole, we just spoke now for so long, the whole purpose was to demonstrate that Rav Nachman, we just wanted one line. Rav Nachman holds Dame Breira. That's all we wanted. Yeah. But till you get to hear Rav Nachman holds Dame Breira, so they had to introduce a whole. Yeah. They had to introduce all these things. Okay. So this was in order to prove that the pshat was not possible. We had a question that the bor shalol le'rigolim. They had these boris on the highway. So who does the water belong to? So we thought that Amin Aleph, mistakenly, we thought that Rav Nachman probably thinks that it's a shutfus of Gan Klal Yisrael. So the Gemara says it's not going to work out. It's not going to work out. The Gemara says, not true, nobody holds it. The vort is that the water in the bor is hefker to get water. That was the maskana. Okay. That's the Gemara. No, and then you still have a machloikis. Whose chum does it have? So it's a different machloikis. Whether magdim still chaver, it's kana chaver, or not kana chaver. Then we learn. In this week's Seder, we have the first din of Korban Pesach Mitzrayim. So the Korban Pesach, if you ate this design, all you have to do is eat a kazayis. If you want to eat more than kazayis, you can say, hey, but you have to see that you're not allowed to leave over. It's a loisessi. So you have to make sure that you get enough people, not their heresy, that Fres is going to eat the 10 lamb chops. So you have to get enough people to be shutzen. So you get chaver, you did them, whatever. So the Chumash has an expression that stella beis over, that the family should eat together. That was always the minig. The Mishnayos described the first yontiv, when a girl gets married, the first yontiv she goes to the shver and shviger, she goes to his home. She goes first yontiv, she goes to her parents. And then the next yontiv, the alternate, he goes to his parents and so on. So that was always the minig, that families ate together. But it's not a din, it's not a halacha that it's absolutely necessary that families have to eat together. That was always the minig. But in the Chumash, it sounds like by Pesach Mitzrayim, there were many dinim that only applied to Pesach and some that did not apply to Pesach. There was like the din al Yetzish min Pesach Beisad Boiker. No one's allowed to walk out of the house until the morning. That's only a Hirah Shor on the occasion of Pesach Mitzrayim. It didn't apply Pesach Beres. I remember there was a review of a book. It used to be Jewish Welfare Board used to publish a newspaper every month. Remember many years ago my father used to get it. So they used to have book reviews there. So someone wrote a book, The Last of the Just. I think about Shimon HaTzadik, something about the one of the Rishari Anshek Tensak Verla. So they wrote a review of this book. So he writes about how did things look in the days of the Bai Sheni. So he describes, he used to eat the Korban Pesach, all based on Josephus. He ate the Korban Pesach, after they would bench them, finish the Abrikoshes, they would finish the whole Agada. So they would go visit their friends, like we do sometimes, go visit other people. Sometimes people finish the Seder at 2 o'clock in the morning, so it's not just to go visit your friends. But if you finish at a decent hour, so you go visit by your other people, and your shmooze and your misamech. So you're right, that's the way they did. So the one who reviews the book says, it can't be that Josephus has such a thing. It's against halacha. You're not allowed to leave your house till the morning. No, so the Tosefta says that was a Hirosh Shor. It only applies to Pesach Mitzrayim. It doesn't apply to those. Or it says, Masnechem chagurim nalechem baraglechem makelchem b'yetchem. They have to be wearing their marching boots. They have to be all ready to go, and they're not allowed to go. They have to be ready to go like soldiers, but they're not allowed to go. I'll take it. And they should eat it quickly. This was all a Hirah Shor. That's not a din l'daris. There is no din masnechem b'raglechem, na'lechem b'raglechem, and so on. It's only a Hirah Shor. So another Hirah Shor was what was always the practice, that all the families ate together. Then it was a Hirah Shor that the families have to eat together. Sel beis avos. They have to dafki eat together. It's very interesting. Some of the Mefarshim point out a very interesting Einfall, that a lot of times when they made the Russian Revolution, when you have Hakomas HaMedina, you have big things happening in the world, big upheavals and big revolutions, big zachen. So a lot of times the whole family is not prepared to go Moisei Nefesh for this ideal, for this big thing. So the younger children usually go, the teenagers or whatever, or there's one person, a mature, wherever it is, one or two members of the family will go, and they'll leave the rest of the family behind in Europe, or one will go work with the Palmach, and the others will not. So here also, one can visualize the fact that on the occasion of Yetzias Mitzrayim, that they're forming a new nation, and they're going to break out from slavery in here. So you can see that associations, when they're going to eat the Korban Pesach, they may make different associations, that the younger kids are going to eat together, they're going to leave the old folks behind. And especially where the Chazal say, "V'chamushim olam neis on the earth in Mitzrayim," that only 20% left and 80% stayed behind. So the 20 who left are not necessarily going to be from the same family. So the Torah made a Hirah Shor. When you have these big revolutions, a lot of times that's part of the problem in Eretz Yisrael. When they made the Hakamas HaMedina, so all the families were broken, and they all came from religious homes. Most of them came from religious homes. But because the whole family unit was broken, so they lost their contact with their parents, with their grandparents, they were the chalutzim, and they left everybody else behind. So there was a breakdown in the family unit. So the Torah gave us a hayrah shah, the families have to eat together. Celebrate saw this a special hayrah shah. It has to be like that. L'doris, it wasn't required. That was always the practice. They always had family. There was no revolution going on, so why not? But at the time that you're starting a new nation, they're about to break out free from Golus Mitzrayim, so one would have imagined that a lot of the younger people, a lot of the chalutzim, are going to want to break away from their parents who have different hashkafas and so on. So the Torah made it in, no, you're going to destroy the family unit. It has to be celibate, so special hayrashah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.